You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
.9, 100.7, and all over the World Wide Web. Miss Ellen, it was great to listen in to you and Ali last week. Everything was loud and crisp.
Awesome. Awesome. It was a great show last week. And you can listen this week live here on 1510 WWBC. You can go to that website, just hit the .com after that, and you can hit the listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also have it on demand, which is by date. And of course, we are here each and every Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can look up on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends under that same channel. Of course, we share it on all of our social media channels, as well as our website, which is SitaMedia.com and SitaMediaInc.com, both of those. So we make sure that we share all of that. And I want to, from here, from the show and from all the folks here in Brevard County, we send our condolences to your family, to the Ramlogan family.
Ramlogan, yeah.
Yeah, family. For the passing of your brother this past week, Sita. So we're very sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, with 18 brothers and sisters, we have something going on at any given time.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of people and their kids, a lot of grandkids, and, you know, it's a lot. So thank you, though. But, it was really heartwarming to get all the wishes and condolences through social media and family. And you guys carried on the show.
And you know what I love about your family is that every holiday, everything is celebrated. So the Christian religion is celebrated, the Hindus, the Muslim, every religion and every facet of life really is celebrated in your family. And so it is such a heartwarming, not just a heartwarming thing, aspect of your life, but something that everybody should share in, because it's just amazing.
Well, I get
the cultural experience.
Through me,
through you, absolutely. The Parisian New Year's is like one of my favorites.
Well, you know, people say that your social media reflects who you are, your personality.
Yes.
And when I put up about my brother, everyone understood exactly what had happened, who he was. And then I wrote that we had a Christian service, but a Hindu cremation.
Yeah.
And that reflects who we are.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
So very, 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 what a wonderful heartwarming, you know, once again, you know, reflecting back on family. So I know Allie's got a great family too,
yeah.
And loves to reflect on great memories and great things that we all share together. So once again, another insight to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and why we love doing what we do so much.
Right. So on Mondays, for listeners who are just tuning in, we sit here in the studio here in Cocoa, Florida. We're right next door to the Cocoa Police Department, actually.
Yeah.
And we talk about topics, things that are going on here in Brevard County, Florida, in the state and around the world, whether it's financial literacy, which our second half of our show would be about financial literacy and wealth management. And we speak to people who have nonprofits, running for office, lots of politicians, lots of authors.
Lots of volunteer.
That's right. And we let people know that they have a platform on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And Ellen, our guest this morning, you know her.
Yes, Project Noel.
Project Noel is going to be on this morning. And the thing with Project Noel is we've identified that we have a lot of friends right here in Brevard County, Florida, who are raising their grandkids. And Kelly Clark is no different. Kelly Clark is with Project Noel, and she's going to talk to us a little bit this morning about why this was established in December of 2017 in the name of her daughter. So I think she's on the phone. So, Kelly, thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me.
It's so nice to, I was telling Sita to remember, because you were in the studio the last time that we were here, I believe. You're right?
Yeah,
when you were in Brevard
County. I was
there
before, yes.
So this is a, you know, Project Noel is a national organization helping thousands of children who've suffered because of the opioid epidemic. And Project Noel is here to show them that they're loved, and so they need volunteers. They're looking for donations, and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but I wanted anybody who was out there in the listening audience that wanted to look up projectnoel.com is a very easy website to find and great way to interact with Kelly and find out about all of the great things that they're doing.
Well, thank you.
Right. So Kelly, bring us up to speed since the last time you came on the show. What's going on with Project Noel now, and how can our listeners and our friends help?
Okay, so we are just growing.
That's good news,
it's
right?
Hard to keep up with it. But we are all over the place. Brevard County is actually the largest county number-wise that we work in Florida. Ohio, it's Cleveland. In Florida, it's Brevard County. So we have a lot of kiddos that we help at Christmas time, which was what we're really, really busy with right now. People can apply. We take referrals. For any child that's been affected by the epidemic, whether it be they lost a parent to overdose, maybe the parents out there in active addiction, they could be incarcerated. There's a lot of different ways these kids are getting affected, but they're all suffering because of the opioid epidemic. So, you know, we try to step in, help the grandmas and grandpas and great-grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends in foster care and wherever these kids are to help provide them with a nice Christmas.
Right. And we understand that Project Noel started in December 2017, and it's named after the memory of your daughter, Noel.
Yeah.
Noel passed away in an accidental drug overdose on July 30th, 2017, and she left behind three sons. And then
right after that,
you also lost your son.
I did. I lost him September 1st of 2021. I was actually in Orlando on August 31st speaking for Overdose Awareness Day and got a call the next day that they found him passed away in a public restroom.
Oh, my gosh.
So, we've added on a program with Project Noel. My son Michael was real into sports. He was offered a sports scholarship to college, and I would say his two real passions in life were sports and kids, even though he didn't have any of his own. But he was the best uncle around to all these the nephews that he had. So we've started Michael's Place at Project Noel, and we help kids if they need a mitt or football equipment or whatever the case is to be able to play on a team.
And, you know, we all lived through COVID, and this last couple of years, it's been tough. I know with Project Noel, you guys have been doing so much, not just with Christmas assistance and Easter baskets, but you guys have branched out to helping families with things like haircuts and special kids family events and kids support groups and emergency clothing and diapers, public speaking and education. And I want to talk a little bit about the education. Project Noel has been going around Brevard County and other areas talking to people about drug overdose and the signs and symptoms and how not to miss those signs and symptoms in your own home.
Right, exactly. And we actually have it on the books next year to host Overdose Awareness Day in Brevard County. It's an event that happens every year on August 31st. It's, you know, a national event. It's a national day to bring awareness and education to overdose.
Are you partnering
with
any?
So we are planning one in Brevard County next year.
Are you partnering with any other groups? Because we've had quite a few groups on Prevention Connections and a few other folks that have been on here in Brevard County that are also part of that, event, I guess we'll call it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure hoping to be. I know in the past we have connected with Eckerd. We work a lot with the Brevard County Prevention Coalition. We just did their Recovery Fest Day in September.
Right, those are
so,
all.
So, yeah, we want to get a lot, as many people involved as we can.
And for those people that were not involved in the last event that they had, they gave out so much Narcan at that event, which right now, you know, unfortunately, we're in that day of an age that everyone should have some Narcan in their car or something that available just in case they happen to encounter someone that is suffering with an overdose or a possible overdose. So, and they're
right.
giving it away for free. So make sure that you connect with, you know, certainly here in Brevard County, but I'm sure that ProjectNoel.com, you could ask that question. You could most likely get a good resource for that as well.
Yeah. And Kelly,
absolutely.
And Kelly, I remember that our friend, my friend Carrie, has been helping through Chase Bank to collect
uh-huh.
donations and help you all for every Christmas. I mean, it's been since you came on the show, actually. That's how
right,
Carrie
right.
met you, and she's been part of getting the employees at Chase Bank to assist with distribution and collection for Project Noel. Tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, how does one get on the list, the Christmas wish list? Because I find that's fascinating the way you all do it with the list. And we've got so many people that year after year have been saying, hey, when am I getting my list for my child? How can a person get involved?
So if they want to sign up to be on the list, they just go to our website, www.projectnoel.com, click on Christmas 2024, and fill out the application. And then within 7 days, they'll either get an approval email or, hey, we need more information from you. But it's really simple to fill out. We don't ask for any financial information. We just want to make sure that the kids live in that household. So that's really easy. Then in order to adopt a child, that's just as easy. I know I'm still waiting. They're just finalizing the Brevard County list. But I know they've teamed up with Buffalo Wild Wings this year, True to You Tattoo. I mean, the list goes on and on. So, and that will be posted on our website as well as on our Facebook page, and then go right to Project Noel Brevard County, and all that will be posted on where you can pick up the information for a child.
So for listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Kelly Clark. And Kelly is, I want to say, what's your title now with Project Noel? It's been such a long time.
I'm like the jack of all trades.
That's what I thought. I was going to say CEO, but you are. And I love the mission of Project Noel, which is to help the children who have suffered from opioid epidemic. They've lost a loved one, and someone has to take care of these children after a loved one passes away. And there are thousands and thousands of children who are suffering. And Kelly, one of the great things that you all do with these children is you offer so much for the kids as far as how not to get addicted. You have counseling, you have events, the grandmas, the grandpas, the friends, the neighbors, everyone has a place to go if they want to get involved. Tell our listeners a little bit about some of the success stories with Project Noel and how you help people to get away from addiction.
Yeah, as far as getting away from addiction, we do partner with a lot of centers and stuff that, you know, we can refer them to. As far as education, we just want our kids. We just started something new this year. In fact, our first one is tonight, Red Ribbon Event. And Red Ribbon Week is a week all about youth and prevention. And we only scheduled up two of them this year, but we're kind of learning through it so that we can really roll them out next year. And we don't want any child to ever get into drugs and say, we didn't realize, we didn't know, we didn't, you know. I think education is key. My grandsons, they're identical twin boys. They're 11 years old now. And they know more about this opioid epidemic than most people. Of course, they lost their mother, Noelle, and then they also lost their father in 2021 to an overdose. And my thing is, if we don't teach them about this horrible epidemic, the drug dealer on the corner is going to be happy to teach them for us.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, so what's sad is, people get addicted to people. I mean, if you're doing something and someone is not educated that you are a bad person, your intentions are not good, and you're promoting,
right,
you know, whether it's pornography. Remember, we had a psychiatrist on our show that talked about how many Americans are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography.
Social media.
Yeah. And the thing is, people get addicted. So I think you're right in saying education, but this is where parents and elders and guidance comes in 100%.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Right. And so when Noelle was addicted, did you I mean, it's almost like a stigma as well, right? Because people would say, how could you miss the signs and symptoms? Can you take us back to your daughter before she passed away from a drug overdose? Because I know you tried everything possible to help her as well.
I did. She was a college graduate. I have seven children. Out of all seven of my kids, she was the most independent. She never wanted help with anything. She needed to succeed on her own. She was an ultrasound tech, amongst all kinds of other awesome things I could say to her. She was one of my best friends. And so, you know, when she got involved in drugs, it was just a shocker to me because she had always hated drugs. We were going through all this addiction with my son. And, yeah, the stigma attached to this is horrible. I mean, yeah, I've had people say to me, no, I'm going to take that back. They haven't said to me. They've commented on Facebook and stuff to me, you know, that, wow, you've lost two kids. What kind of mother were you? And, you know, these people have no clue. They have no clue. I mean, this epidemic doesn't touch just, you know, I mean, it touches everybody. The educated, the wealthy, the poor, black, white, green, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think people forget the part that if you have surgery or something and you're prescribed medication, there's a chance that some people get addicted to prescription drugs that way as well. Of course, we have,
right,
you throw in mental disorders, you throw in stress, you throw in the social influence, what, like we were just saying, of other people. And I see Ali is nodding her head. She is one of our co-hosts here on the show as well, and I'm going to let her jump in here as well.
Hey, no, I'm really glad that you're on here with, yeah, I'm sorry, I was thinking about her daughter.
Kelly.
Yes, I'm sorry, Kelly. We used to be worried, and as I was as parents, my kids are in their 50s now, but of the who were they hanging out with, or what, where were they going, and did I have a feel for where they were going? But you can't have that tight a rein on them for all of their, you know, when they get close to being adults and stuff.
Yeah, you can't blame the parents.
No, I don't, I'm sorry that would happen to you, that you would, somebody that would say, what kind of a parent were you that you allowed that to happen? No. Nobody's going to allow that to happen.
Right. And nor does anybody wake up in the morning and say, you know, today I think I'm going to get addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
I'm
going
to
get
overdosed. Today I'm going to ruin my life. Today's
really
the day.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that it's a process, you know, much like what you said, Sita. Sometimes it's a process that starts with a surgery or a doctor visit or something, or it's something that they're exposed to on the streets. And unfortunately now, too, So much has become famous on this reality TV where it's kind of cool again, you know, like, or cool that people are doing ecstasy or something like that to enhance an experience. And it's just not, you know, again,
it's not good for our nation. It's not good for
us. Our people are not strong enough to do those things anymore. And everything is so much stronger.
So far,
you know, and the other problem we found that's going on is, like, say someone will go out and, you know, they'll offer them a pill of some sort. And they're thinking it's one thing when they're actually getting an opioid. I've heard of that a lot. You know, fentanyl is mixed in everything now. I think they just took over like 5,000 counterfeit pills off someone right here in my town the other day that were pure fentanyl. So people are getting addicted to a drug that they don't even know that they're doing.
Well, and you know, you've got people, human beings in the United States that are seeking drug use for pleasure. You've got people who don't like authority. You've got people who legally they're indulging in alcohol or drugs or whatever. And we are dealing with a broad spectrum of so many reasons why someone becomes addicted. And, you know, you always hear that, the rich kids have the money to buy the drugs. They're overindulgent, right? So I think it's great that Project Noel, that you guys are a nonprofit, you're a 501c corporation. And how many counties are you in now? How many states and counties?
We are in 3 states now, Ohio, Florida, and now North Carolina. I think we're getting ready to go into another state the beginning of the year because I'm not crazy enough already. it's crazy how fast this is growing, which is, it's a good thing because it means we can help that many more kids and bring awareness to more communities. It's a bad thing because it just shows you, though, how much it's needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of amendments up on our, obviously coming up for our election cycle. And two of them, I believe, or one of them anyway, is revolved around marijuana legalization and those types of things. Do you have anything going on specifically nationwide that you'd like to tell our listeners about that you support or don't support?
The only thing I can say that I really fight hard for is that the dealers that get caught that cause a death, an overdose death, I think they need to be given more prison time.
Okay. Is that an amendment or something that you're working on politically that we can help with?
No, it's not really an event. But
okay.
Well, I think it's just when you see the children that Project Noel is helping, and you understand why their parents or loved one died, you want the people who are dealing the drugs to be punished.
Yeah.
Which I think is coming from a place of a mom and a grandma. You know, that's a current thing. But, you know, I think that people who also get addicted have to be willing to accept the help that places like Project Noel sends them or other family members. Would you agree, Kelly, that in order for someone to heal from drug addiction or porn addiction or alcohol addiction, you have to be ready to want that change?
Oh, yeah. That's a definite. And Noelle was. Noelle was 11 hours away from going into a inpatient rehabilitation center when she passed away. My son, you know, he fought with depression for years, and he wasn't ready. He couldn't do it. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, that's the first thing. You got to be ready.
Yeah.
To make that change because it's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, I read somewhere on that there were over 100,000 people that died from overdose. Was that just in one county, or was that an overall?
That was overall in 1 year. I know in 2 years, it was 2022 and 2023, the United States lost over 219,000 people.
Wow. So, Kelly, so tell our listeners with the remaining time we have where someone can apply to help with clothing assistance or kids groups or volunteer opportunities. I noticed you guys also have a gallery where we can look at the pictures. Maybe people want to sponsor some time, energy, and money and get some awareness on overdose and addiction and cure and all that. Give us your website. And what can we do to help this Christmas?
Well, our website, again, is www.projectnoel.com. It also has our phone number on there, our email address. You can send us a message right through there. And we do. We need help with Christmas. We need help with donations. We need volunteers. We need it all.
And again, it expands into Volusia County as well. So, and I know a lot of some of our listeners anyway, our radio station hits South Volusia County, North Brevard County. But you just recently had a poker run too. So like any type of donation or any type of event would be on the table to support Project Noel. And because it is something that hits our entire nation, it's not state or county specific. If you want to do some type of fundraiser in your town, especially the biker community, they're always great for poker runs, and they're always great for
toy runs.
Connecting with toy runs and so forth. So if you are part of an organization that would like to contribute to Project Noel, just remember that I'm sure Kelly would love the help in not having to organize something, and you organize it and just let her reap the benefits of that.
Right. So, Kelly, where can we donate? Because I know on the website there's a donate button as well, correct?
Yes, there's a donate button on there. There is on our Facebook page, our main Facebook page, Project Noel, there's a donate button. We have an address listed if somebody wants to send in a check. We have Venmo. We have PayPal. There's all different kinds of ways to donate.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Kelly Clark, and we're talking about the nonprofit that she founded after her daughter, Noel, tragically passed away in July of 2017 from a drug overdose. And then after that, a few years later, her son also passed away. And Kelly is an advocate for grandmas and friends and cousins and anyone who are helping the children that are left behind. Project Noel is a 501c nonprofit, and they're located in almost in three states. So, Kelly, so now on the list for the children, can kids from one household go in on one list? Like, for example, I remember seeing a list where some children had asked for a bicycle. They wanted, shoes. A lot of kids asked for clothing. Can siblings go on one sheet, or each child need a separate sheet?
We put each. I mean, you can, when they fill out the application, you can sign up to five kids on one application. If there's more than five, you just continue it on a new application. But then the lists go out, and each child is typed up separately.
Yeah, and I understand that every year you're having more and more people sign up on the Christmas wish list, and how sad it is that, I mean, we could do a whole segment on we need more help with mental health therapy in our county and in our country. We can do more help and how to help people fight addiction, more education for doctors, nurses, everyone. But at the same time, how sad it is that the most beautiful time of the year, Christmas, when it's a time of giving, that you all are seeing an influx of more people signing up on these lists.
Yeah, unfortunately, the opioid epidemic isn't going away. So every year it's affecting more and more and more families. So, yeah, every year our numbers go up. It's, it's a sad thing to see. I wish someday that we wouldn't even need Project Noel, that, this drug epidemic would go away. But we're not there yet.
Right, we're not. And the thing is, and we do have to be careful politically as well when certain politicians talk about drugs coming through the border, whether people like to hear that statement or not. We do have to be careful who comes into our country, when they come into our country, and what they bring as well. But, you know, a lot of these drugs are found right here in the United States as well. So I think everything comes down to education and opportunities for young ones. So, Kelly, give us the website one more time where someone could sign up with Project Noel, either for giving donations or helping for Christmas or becoming a volunteer or, like Ellen said earlier, becoming a business partner with Project Noel.
Yeah, it's www.projectnoel, and it's NOELLE.com.
Excellent.
Well, we will make sure we share all of this great information and certainly get out the word about signing up for the Christmas benefit. And also, I wanted to point out that on projectnoel.com, you can also go to the shop, and they have really cool T-shirts that would be great sponsors and support while you're out. And they're just great T-shirts, so check that out as well. We are going to listen to a few of our sponsors real quick. Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing the information about Project Noel. We're going to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Fine Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super saving sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Are you longing for a taste of Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine-in or take-out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro, 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7 and online everywhere on the World Wide Web, Miss Ellen.
That's right. On 1510WBC.com, you can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your listening devices, live and in person. Of course, the archive spot on the show is on demand. You can pick any Monday, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, when we share it on our social media and our website, we put the names and the downloads as well to it after I clean up the editing a little bit because it is a live show. And make sure that all of our folks are able to share that MP3 out to their clients, customers, and friends.
Right. And we're heating up the airwaves today. We just had our friend Kelly Clark with Project Noel, and we talked about Christmas and trying to support our community with getting gifts for those children. And that was an awesome segment. She's been a part of our show from the day we started. Our second segment is about risk management, wealth strategies, with Mr. Ivor Allen, I have to say that correctly, and he's a contributing author to the book Big Bold Business, Advice from U.S. Business Owners. Ivor is also the president of a New Jersey-based company, Intrinsic Wealth Strategies, Inc., and he has taught and continues to teach various retirement planning courses. So, Danny, listen up. You might learn something. You might want to go to this boot camp that Ivor has.
Something.
So, Ivor, thank you for calling in and being part of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today.
It's certainly a pleasure, and thank you for having me here as well as your guest.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Of all the professions in the world, you chose to get into a profession where not only can you help yourself, but you can help others and teach them, basically, like they say back in the Caribbean, where to hang your hat, where you could reach it, which is don't spend money you don't have. So tell us a little bit about your background.
So I'm originally from Guyana. Migrated to this country as a young teenager and pursued engineering. So working in the process for Corning DuPont Environmental Protection, Department of Environmental Protection, I stumbled into this profession. And what made it so gravitating for me is the fact that I'm able to help people. When you're working in a corporate sector, especially major big projects, and yes, you improve and make an impact on the bottom line, you know, it doesn't feel the same as when you can impact an individual. And as a result of that, stumbling into this profession, I come to recognize that I am able to make a significant impact into people's lives. And the unique aspect of my engineering allowed me to bring across my analytical skills with addressing these matters, I should say, of numbers and projections and what have you. So, you know, it's been comfortable. It's been a wonderful ride.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one of those things that's well needed here in the United States and around the world, because oftentimes, you know, people talk about other people's wealth. They talk about how somebody got ahead in life. But everything in life is relative to, number one, your family and what you learn at home. And number two, you have to be able to learn how to take risks and how to understand risks. So can you explain to our listeners a little bit about risk taking in wealth management and your wealth status and improving your wealth?
Okay, thank you for that question. I think it's a great question from the standpoint that when I started my firm, I thought about the name quite a bit. The name of the firm is Intrinsic Wealth Strategies. The reason why I came up with that name resonated for me quite a bit was the fact that wealth has always been the perception of they have wealth, I don't. He has wealth, I don't. And there's a conversation about what's in your hand. What's in your hand? Are you maximizing the potential that is there? What's in your hand? I mean, for those who follow the certain scriptures and recognize Moses. What Pharaoh asked him, if you saw it in the Ten Commandments, what's in his hand was the staff. And that's what allowed in part the Red Sea and whatever. So what's in your hand? So relatively speaking, with regards to respective households and individuals, what's in your hand? How can I possibly maximize that? And the reason why strategies is behind wealth intrinsically is what you have. Wealth, yes, but strategies, you have to implement strategies. It doesn't happen by osmosis. So it's important to understand how can I possibly maximize the strategies that are relevant that allows me to make tremendous progress.
Right. And, you know, everything in life comes down to education, right? People talk about wealth building, but a lot of folks, when you get hired by a company, they don't tell you, well, hey, maybe you should maximize your 401k. They don't tell you that cash is king. They don't tell you about emergency reserves. A lot of folks don't share that kind of knowledge and information with each other and teach you that, you know, the down payment for a home, how to sacrifice and face challenges so that you could make that. It doesn't have to be 20% for your first home. It could be less than that. You seem to have a knack for doing that and educating people. So talk to us a little bit about how you go about teaching others about this type of risk-taking and information that you give.
Well, you just mentioned about cash is king. And I always say cash flow is the emperor. Cash is king. You know, cash flow is very important because are we experiencing a positive or a negative cash flow? To that degree, how can we identify and quantify what those numbers are? So, you know, let's quantify if it's a negative, let's quantify even if it's a positive. And how does that grow over time? And what is a major problem, and like I said, it's like one of the impediments is the fact that people do not capture or happen to have a good grasp on their cash flow. And I equate cash flow as, you know, akin to the lymphatic system of our bodies. I said cash flow is just as relevant to the balance sheet, okay? Because when cash flow stops, you're financially dead. When our lymphatic system stops, we're dead. So the thing about it, cash flow is huge. And as a result of that, I always say I'm never impressed by how much you make, but more importantly, how much you keep. And when you understand the society in which we live, there is taxation. Give unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar, right? However, recognize that there's code and there are certain things that are permitted, some things that are not. How knowledgeable or how informed are we with regards to those quote-unquote options? So we can make the right decisions, select the correct choices to maximize our potential.
Right, because, you know, not understanding your finances can lead to bad decisions and missed opportunities, not just here in the United States, but worldwide.
Well, and I look at the college, you know, the forgiveness, the college, the billing forgiveness, right? Of all of the tuition forgiveness, thank you. And I keep thinking to myself, if people were educated on how to make a better decision at the beginning of college, they would certainly be able to, you know, again, make better decisions as they go on. And it goes kind of to the same thing. You know, as adults now, we have a chance to really be a part of our financial planning and our retirement planning. So how important, you know, it was important for the college folks that are suffering right now with college loans that they can't seem to pay off. But how important is it for us to engage as adults in retirement planning? And how does that differ from that retirement income planning that you were talking about? So there's a lot there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a lot in itself, but by itself, it's a lot. You know, it's a very good question. The fact over the years, teaching these classes, you know, whether it's academics of investing or whether it's or retirement planning or whatever, there are many attendees would say, oh, I wish I had known this 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Oh, my daughter needs to hear this or my son needs to hear this. So in answer to your question, it's so important that it's important to recognize that time is the important ally that is very seldom addressed, because we speak about compounding compounding interest and what have you. And that only occurs with time. You can get the best rate of return, but if you only have a year or 2 year, you don't have the opportunity for liftoff. It's thinking of a plane, it's got to take a tremendous, get to high speed in order to start to experience lift to get to its proper altitude. So there's nothing, there's no difference there with regards to our exponential curve. And we each have an exponential curve as to what we earn, what we keep, which is the net, what supports our lifestyle, and that's what goes up over time. And as a result of that, as much as we are experiencing or we can experience increases and bonuses over time, make sure that we are not consuming at the same rate and or percentages that we are increasing our pay, because there's no differential. What I mean by that is that you now start rationalize in your mind, oh, I can have more lattes during the week. I can visit the Starbucks. I can have this Gucci bag. I can have more vacations. I can have a bigger car. So you get to a point of consuming based upon your income. And it's not uncommon to see large incomes and still dealing with debt. So it's so important to understand that our mindsets ought to be informed and educated, quote unquote, as it relates to how this plays out. And, you know.
So in other words, if you buy that latte or you buy all this coffee at Starbucks for $5, $6, $7, a one tiny 6 ounce cup, that is an impediment towards your future, your financial, your retirement. Because all that money, had you put it into the stock market or invested it, you probably could be sitting in Costa Rica with a beer in your hand.
Much better than a
Much
latte.
Much rather have a beer than a latte, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So sure. Ali's got a question for you about retirement as well.
Hey, I've got my... Sure. Sita had a question for me to ask, but I've got a different one. the one I was going to ask was, so I've been tucking dollars away the whole time I've worked. Now I'm at a point where I'm going to be 72. So there's a couple of IRAs sitting out there that I've got to start taking from. And I spent my whole life wanting to, you know, tuck it all away, not mess with it. So now I'm going to mess with it a little bit. Is there an order of events there that should happen?
That's a very exotic question. You didn't recognize the kind of question you're asking. That's an awesome question. From the standpoint that there, yes, at 72, it used to be 70 and a half, 71, then it went to 72, now it's 73. There's something referring to as RMD, required minimum distribution.
Yeah.
And the required minimum distribution, in essence, obligates one to start taking a distribution from those assets. And the purpose of the distribution is not necessarily and primarily for you, but it's more so for your partner that is known as your uncle, and they call him Uncle Sam.
Yes.
Which is the IRS. Yeah.
He hasn't got his taxes yet, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They want their cut. That's all I'm going to call it.
Yeah.
Because that cut, and they're, quote, you want to call it taxes. Yes, it is taxes. And the taxes are, it does change over time. And you cannot predict what you will be paying 5 years from now, because you're dealing with a situation that is not necessarily static. It's dynamic. And it's dynamic from the standpoint of, referred to as legislative risk. Shakespearean said the pen is mightier than the sword. So starting in 2026, for example, the current tax laws are scheduled to sunset at the end of 25, the end of next year. And as a result of that, based on what Congress decides to vote and how they decide to move forward with the new taxes, will dictate what the RMD requirement or the tax requirement for our citizens be from starting in 2026. When you stop to think for a quick minute that we've been helping to fund two wars, we had COVID, we have massive inflation over the last few years.
Infrastructure woes.
Oh, yes, the hurricanes and everything. I mean, like, it's like, it has been crazy. COVID, I mean, you name it. So as a result of that, you have to question yourself and ask, do you think taxes are going to go up, or you think do you think taxes will stay the same, or it's going to go down? Well, if it's going to go down, don't need to do anything. If you think it's going to stay level, probably no need to do anything either. If you think there's a slight chance it's going to go up, you've got to ask your question, should I take advantage of moving monies from my left pocket to my right pocket? And what I mean by that is moving it from a taxable wrapper like an IRA, a 401k, 457, 403b, whatever it is that you paid on a pre-tax basis, to convert it now into an after-tax basis where it can grow and not to be ever taxed again. That is the wisdom.
So you pay the tax now versus
IRA, but that's the wisdom.
Yeah, pay the tax now versus waiting to see what the tax might go up to.
Yeah, it's like paying on the seed as opposed to paying on the harvest.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So
prefer to pay it on the seed or the harvest, yeah.
So Ivor, let's talk a little bit about retirement planning versus retirement income planning. Because a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I'm planning for my retirement. But they don't say, I'm going to plan for my retirement income planning. And those are two different things. So we have like 10 minutes left. I want to get all these things in because that's so important. This is Brevard County, Florida. This is Florida where people come here to retire. So we want to give them that information. So tell us a little bit about those two things.
Certainly. It's very, very good question. Again, a subtle distinction between the two. We have always been informed and educated about accumulating. We call it accumulating assets. And we're accumulating assets either for Johnny or Sue's education, or we're accumulating for our retirement. And I like to make the analogies like getting to the mountaintop. We all want to get to the mountaintop, and you arrive at the mountaintop. But that's part of the objective. I feel that the final thing ought to be you want to get back home safely, because most people who die on Mount Everest is not the ascent of Mount Everest, is descending Mount Everest. That because the euphoria, the adrenaline, the rush, oh, I got into my goal, I'm at the top of the mountain. Retirement tends to be somewhat like that for majority of individuals, and they do not recognize they have to get home safely. And getting home is when the marathon is over and they make their exit. The thing about it is you are now going to have to make decisions around Medicare, Social Security, RMDs. All these things have a degree of taxation. So, for example, when you're looking at Social Security, as much as you have this, you can take it at 62 to as much as age 70, do I take it at a discount or do I take where they give the bonus? There's no problem with that. The problem is do I work and collect Social Security before my FRA means the full retirement age? What is the cost? And not to mention to the extent that we all file a 1040, which is known as the U.S. Individual Income Tax Return. And if you were to look at the schedule for 2023, and look at a segment that shows income, especially when you look at 4A, 5A, 6A, you're dealing with something called IRA distributions, pensions, and annuities, and Social Security benefits. So as much as we are looking at retirement and say, oh, I'm looking forward to getting my Social Security, that is what I like to refer to as taxation in retirement. Very seldom people tend to think and understand that your Social Security is exposed or can be exposed to taxation from a standpoint of based upon where you're flying below the radar, it can be 0% of it will be taxed. Or if you're slightly above that radar line, guess what? You're being taxed 50%.
Correct. And you know, there's a big discussion here in Florida, too, whether you should take the retirement at 62 or 65. Or 67.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because 62, I call it a major haircut because your your full retirement age, which is in majority, could be 66, it could be 67, depends upon the year and date of your birth, will determine your full retirement age and be paid 100% from Social Security. But to the extent that you were taken too soon, at some point in time between 62 and that age, you can have a variation of deductions that is embedded for the rest of your life. So if you start at 62, it's 25%. That's for the rest of your life. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is, can I work and still collect Social Security? Yes, you may, to the extent that based upon if you have not met what they call full retirement age, guess what? If you haven't met full retirement age, you are now, for every $2 you earn, you got to pay back a dollar. When the year you make full retirement age, so let's say you're going to turn 67, which is your retirement age to get 100% of Social Security. Let's say it's going to be in December. Right now in 2024, all right, you're doing two for every one. You're doing three. For every $3, you pay one. So you're about a third.
It really makes no sense, does it, that you're actually penalized for working at that point?
Well, it doesn't make any sense for so many reasons. First of all, you paid into it, and you were informed back in the day when it initiated that you pay into Social Security, and this is how you're going to get your retirement. Then Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan decided, hey, we're going to have you pay 50% based upon – there's a terminology that they use called provisional income. And provisional income is calculated on that 1040 based on what is happening with your IRA distribution pensions or your interest on your bank accounts or whatever. And if it goes over a certain threshold, that's where they will make the determination as to whether or not none of it is taxed, or the determination that 50% of it is taxed, or the determination that 85% of that Social Security will be taxed. So once you hit your full retirement age, let's say it's 67 in December, you can make as much money as you want after that.
But by that time, you can't walk, you can't see, you can't breathe, you can't. I mean, come on. Oh, well, but listen, we have 1 minute left, and I wanted to ask you really quickly. You were also, you spoke to me about the book, Experiences the American Dream. Can you comment briefly where we can get that book to see your contribution in that book? And give us your website or how someone could contact you in case they wanted you to speak to high schoolers or moms and dads or a club, because you are amazing the way you explain things. So give us all of that in a minute if you can, please.
All right. So listen fast, all right?
Yeah.
So the book was written by Mark Matson, which is a money manager that I've used. They tend to use academic investing, but this is not the investing conversation. The robust nature of this book is the fact that it's a very provocative conversation, a very mature discussion about the American dream. What does the American dream mean to you? For some people, they can say, hey, it's been a nightmare, or I don't believe in the American dream, or the American dream is dying. So what is it for you? The fact that we get up each and every day and go to work to earn our dollars to support a lifestyle, what for me it represents is the opportunities and the possibilities that exist in this country. One of the endorsers, Arnold Schwarzenegger, says, I was born in Austria but made in America. And the emphasis there is the fact that, yes, I was born in Austria, but the things that I was able to achieve, whether it's in being a governor for California, whether it's, you know, bodybuilding, whether it was the movies as an actor or whatever it is, all this was possible in America. So there are certain things in this society that is available to us, and that's what we need to take a close look at. Your book that deals with your 18 siblings, it so happens out of 19 of you, you can relate to the fact of being a migrant to this society. What else is possible? What has been possible?
Yeah, America gives you the opportunity to get ahead. If you want to, the American dream is there. So where can someone find you and sign up for some of your classes and things like that?
Well, you can get me at intrinsicwealth-inc.com. That is intrinsicwealth-inc.com. So it's intrinsicwealth-inc.com. www.lisetteSmith.com.
And we will certainly share that on all of our websites and social media pages so people can get in touch with you, because there's so many things going on this year and next year for the tax strategies, like the Corporate Transparency Act for those of us who have LLCs, and certainly for personal wealth and retirement as well. So, Ivor, thank you so much for joining us today. Hey. Unfortunately, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we've run out of time.
We need 3 more hours.
We need 3 more hours.
Yeah, and
need more hours.
And thank you. We've got to cut.
Yeah, we got to cut. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll be